You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
This is Overdrive.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's mail it in Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
It's mail it in Friday. With Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Ray's coming up here in a moment. Joel Quinville in an hour. I guess Claude Julien and the Habs have been on the ice for their first practice together, so there's a lot of anticipation in terms of how the Habs will react tomorrow. They've got a early afternoon game against Winnipeg.
Have you seen the record of teams coming off their bye week? It's like 3-12-1. It's gross.
The Leafs won back-to-back games coming off their bye week.
Yeah.
New York, at Ottawa.
Yeah, so they're one of the three.
There you go.
But like Calgary, Edmonton, like you go right down, the people, teams just getting dummy.
Is that surprising to you?
No, but it's interesting. I spoke with a coach that was trying to think outside the box, and his team ended up losing it anyways, big. But he said, you practice at 4 or 5 or 6, whatever time you set for your team that day before when you get back. And then should you skate the next morning and then play the next night? It almost is maybe too much work.
Well, if I'm the Habs, I'm rattled. I'm coming back for an early afternoon game. That means their whole routine tomorrow is thrown out of whack.
Yeah.
I think they play at like 2 p.m.
You're going to have to play on
tomorrow?
Adrenaline.
Yeah, they play their first game out of the bye. It's like a 2 o'clock game against
that
Winnipeg.
Just
well, and they're practicing right now, right? Like it's weird.
But that's because of this CBA. They're not allowed to practice until 4 p.m.
I agree.
But there's not going to be a pregame skate tomorrow. Well, you're going to get up. There's no nap.
Afternoon game, I would prefer it that way. It's almost like your morning skate.
2 o'clock, but no nap, no regular routine, no.
What would you eat for breakfast? What would you eat for, like, what did you have on a game day for, like, a noon, 1, 2
I would wake up at 7 o'clock, and I'd go down and strap on a feed, pancakes, eggs, bacon, back to the wrapper for... What's so funny about that?
I don't know.
It's like you're in an orchestra.
Yeah,
you're
not, like, and he's got it all laid
like
out. Like, okay, so okay. Keep going, please.
That was my routine. Down, feed, like a big brunch-style breakfast, and then back for an awesome, like...
2-hour nap?
Just right back to bed.
Right
you
back
know those
in the wrapper.
Ones where you eat breakfast and you go right back to bed and you are loving life?
Yeah, I played with guys.
And then wake up. Coffee rink.
I played with guys. Do you want me to out? I'll out.
That's so funny.
I don't know. It's like you go to Denny's and then hibernate.
That's
again.
Basically what I did.
Pierre Turgeon, no matter what time we played, had pasta. So at 8:30 in the morning, he would have a big plate of pasta, and he never really liked marinara sauce. He used tomato sauce, tomato juice, like tomato, on top of his pasta at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I couldn't do that.
That's awful.
That's what they do in Europe, though. You go over to Europe, they've got some weird breakfast ideas. Like, I guess the boys were saying when they went over to Russia.
Yeah.
You get up in the morning, you're at, like, a Russian hotel. They've got, like, full pasta available for you.
Everything.
Why would you eat pasta, like,
I
7 in the morning?
If I get up at 2 in the afternoon, I need to start my day with breakfast.
Really?
Even so regardless, if you, for whatever reason, your whole routine's out of whack, you sleep in, you're not feeling great, or whatever. You wake up at 2 in the afternoon.
I just can't go and have a Caesar salad. I'm having eggs and breakfast type stuff.
See, I can skip breakfast if I have to.
Yeah,
for
I do
sure.
have another announcement regarding my extracurricular activities. Starting next week, I'm getting out the hockey gear.
What are you doing with it?
Playing hockey.
Really?
Fridays, 11:30 a.m., I hit the ice.
Whereabouts?
That's none of your business.
I need to know.
We are going to
send cameras.
Yeah, well, what will be your pregame routine then? Your pregame meal. We got to ask Ray what he would have in an afternoon game.
All right, Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Oh, break down your routine for a 1 o'clock game when you used to play.
For Ray?
Yeah.
I used to wake up at 7 and really feed on pancakes, eggs, bacon, and then right back to bed for like a 2-hour nap and then right to the rink.
I did almost exactly the same.
Yeah, it was the best.
I love breakfast.
I was almost asleep in the elevator on my way back to the room.
I couldn't wait. Like, I couldn't eat closer to the game. And then, like some guys, remember, like, some guys would eat spaghetti.
Yeah, it was just, I brought up the story, Ray, where Pierre Turgeon would eat spaghetti.
And you're like, it's gross. Like, Pete, it's 10 o'clock. I like it. Ugh, gross. Eggs, pancakes, right back to the wrapper.
Yeah, food's weird, man. It's all about the mental state, right? Like, because sometimes, every once in a while, you eat, like, pancakes for dinner or bacon and eggs for dinner, and it just doesn't feel right. Yet it's great food. Why do you love certain foods at certain times?
I love breakfast for dinner anytime.
You'll do that anytime?
Anytime. No problem.
I can't get behind that all the time. No way.
Oh, but you can't go the other way. It's not like you're going to wake up and grill a chicken breast at 7:30 in the morning.
Well,
like, who's going to do that?
If you're like a fitness freak, that's what they suggest.
I would 2 weeks before training camp, that's what I would do.
You would start getting in shape?
No, yeah, pretty much. But when you're in those last like 2 weeks of leaning out, that's what I would have chicken breast 3 times a day, chicken and just peas and corn. That was it. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That was it.
Oh my gosh, that is boring.
For 2 weeks straight.
That's not going to work.
Oh.
Mix in some like Frank's Red Hot or something.
Nothing.
Mix
teriyaki
something
sauce a little bit.
Anyway.
I love eggs for breakfast. So I would always get up like I do now, even like oatmeal and eggs for breakfast all the time.
Okay. I don't ever mind when the restaurant offers up some brown beans.
That's like an English breakfast.
Yeah, like
those English breakfasts, man, they look so unappealing.
That's why I put 26 pounds on when I played in England during the lockout, because it was just
26
in 2 months. I put 26 pounds on because all I did was eat like heavy food. Everything was with saute. Saute is fries. So you'd have eggs with fries and beans in the morning. Then you'd have chicken, some sort of fried chicken at lunch with fries. Like, everything was just fried food.
It's garbage food over there. It's awful.
And then you wash it down with beer. Like, 26 pounds in two months.
Yeah, I've done that before. I was in Canada, but I've done that before.
You were on your coach.
Right. Anyway, Mitch Marner didn't practice today, but Babcock held open the door to the idea that he could play tomorrow night. He said he's day-to-day. We're not going to make that determination. That's got to be a positive sign, right?
Oh, I think the biggest positive to it is, even if he doesn't play tomorrow, is that you're looking at something really short term. That to me, like, so he might get there tomorrow, and I can I can see a scenario where he goes out for the morning skate and he shoots some pucks, and they, you know, he's a little bit uncomfortable, and they hold him out because they don't want to take a chance, and then he misses one game. Like, if he's already this close, that's really, really good news. I mean, that's about as good a news as you could have hoped for, I think.
I mean, is there enough time left in the season where you approach it with the mentality that a weekend off wouldn't be the worst-case scenario? Or is it crunch time now where even if he's at 70%, you kind of need him to play?
Well, I think you need him to play for sure, but I don't know that you would put – it's really hard to play when you're not quite right. I think what ends up happening, well, two things happen. One is you end up putting yourself into some bad spots because you're trying to protect your shoulder in this case, and that shoulder is always in contact with the boards, or if you get hit, you're going to make contact with the shoulder, so you start to shy away. You put yourself in a bad spot and you get thumped, or you're just ineffective because you're a little scared. And I don't mean you're like, oh, scared you don't want to get hit. You're scared that I don't want to get hit in that spot. And so I don't know that at his, you know, at his age and, you know, where they, I put it this way. I don't think it's worth taking a risk at this point, I guess, is a long winded answer to that. If he's not real good, I don't see them taking a chance with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, listen, he's a great player. No one's going to dispute his value, but you can overcome this injury based on the position he plays. It's not like it's your starting goalie or even your number one defenseman.
And it's the beginning of his career. It's just
exactly. And there's 26 games left, right? It's not inconceivable.
But also, you can, but Brian, you can overcome anybody for one game.
Sure.
Pittsburgh can overcome Crosby. McDavid can be out and Edmonton can win a game. Now, would you want those guys out for five games and try and wallpaper over that? Well, that would probably be pretty hard. And, you know, but for one night, I think they can, you know, if that's how close he is, I think you can pretty well get yourself through that.
Josh Levo's kind of been the talk of the town the past couple of days because he's played so well the past two games. And Babcock was pumping his tires today. Yeah, he's an interesting case.
Well, he deserves to play somewhere. I don't know where it is, but he deserves to not be Frankie Corrado'd or something like that. He deserves to play hockey.
Guys, you remember when he got hurt last year? He got hurt in Edmonton, and just before he got hurt, or just rather, just after he got hurt, he had scored. I got it backwards. Just before he got hurt, he scored. He went down the left side and he fired a rocket over the goalie's shoulder. Just a beautiful goal. I wasn't aware he could shoot like that. I was doing the game, and it was a bullet. And then he got hit. He got concussed, and that kind of. He kind of fell out of the mix. You know, he got hurt, or, you know, he was hurt. He didn't get back. And then this year he was not right. And I don't know what the heck happened. He, you know, played the five games in the American League, and then he just kind of hung around for a while. And he is he's kind of an awkward skater, I guess. He doesn't really have a lot of leg power when he skates. You know, like he looks like he's top heavy kind of. And so that's something that can be worked on. You know, you can develop leg power, but he's a big guy. I think he's smart. And, you know, he does make things a little uncomfortable in the lineup because if you've got 5 points in two games, you are playing. And if Marner was playing and Soshnikov were healthy, they'd have to really have themselves a discussion about where he fits. You can't just take him out. If you're trying to build accountability and build the earning of a spot means you stay in, then he took advantage of an injury and he earned his spot. Now he's got to keep playing that way to not give it back up. But I don't even know, like, who would you take out?
Well, you do have to believe that the Frankie Corrado situation scared a lot of these guys, like the bottom end players. Like, if I get out, I could sit out for a year and a half. Babcock may not bring me back in.
But if all 12 forwards are healthy, who are you going to take out?
Well, that's the question right now. I guess Soshnikov is the guy at this point. I wonder long-term if Matt Martin becomes that guy.
I was just
going to
say, probably Matt Martin would be a guy that if you're playing a team that there really isn't a threat of that physicality, you could probably move some people around to make him healthy.
Could you see them exposing him?
Think he'll get picked. He's not going to. He's got 3 years at $2.5 million left. I mean, I can't imagine that's going to be at the front of the line for Vegas to claim.
No, but they have to claim someone from the Leafs.
Well, who's going to be available?
That's what I don't know.
I don't see them wanting, you know, I mean, there's going to be a bunch of teams probably where there's contracts available like this. And I can't imagine that Vegas is going to want to string themselves up with 3 years of cap money. They might take a big money deal that's about 1 year or 2 years left. But I think when you stretch it out into three and four, those guys are, it's almost like having a no move. You know, like I don't see that Vegas is going to want to do that.
Well, that report has been out of Ottawa for the past couple of weeks that they're going to approach Dion Phaneuf, who has a no-trade, no-move, I believe, so he would have to sign off on it,
right,
but ask him to waive that option so that they can't expose him, knowing that Vegas isn't going to claim him because he's got 4 years left at $7 million. Vegas isn't going to do it, more than likely, anyway, and that's an interesting strategy.
Well, I think Ottawa's worried about losing Chris Weidman because he would be a real good candidate. Would he not, Ray? Don't you think he would be?
I think so, but I do think what what we're going to see that we, you know, which is impossible to figure at this time, is what teams are going to say to Vegas, okay, don't take this guy, and here's a third-round pick.
Right.
We'll trade you a third-round pick for not to take player X, so take somebody else. And so whether it's, you know, I think Fanouf's got 5 years left on his contract or something, they're not going to take that deal.
Right.
That's, you know, as good as he's been playing, I don't see it. And so if, you know, you're right, they got to take somebody, right? Just what we were talking about. They'll find the players the players they're obligated to take. They're going to take 30 guys, and I'm guessing that 10 of those guys will be throwaway picks. Like, will be picks that won't even see the light of day in Vegas. They'll just be obligated to take a player, because they're not going to end up with 30 guys there, 5 guys for free agents, and if they can't, sorry, I just got these people trying to figure out how to get out of an elevator here. Really difficult. So, oh my God, it's like a mom and two teenagers. I'm like, the door open, just step out. It's not that hard. You don't have to do a cartwheel to get out. Anyway, so you know, I think there's going to be many scenarios that we think we know about, and then they're going to pop out something completely different. Like, I think it's going to be really interesting how they try and get this whole thing together, because they're going to get the list of players, and then they're going to have about 72 hours to figure out who they want. And once they get to those 72 hours to get the guys they want, then they're going to have to try and – that's when they're going to start making moves about, okay, here's a draft pick, or, you know, here's – don't take this guy, take that guy. There's going to be all kinds of wrangling that'll be around in every city, which will make it among the most interesting summers we've seen in a long time.
Sidney Crosby hit 1,000 points for his career last night, 12th fastest all-time. I think he's 5th all-time in points per game. He's just a remarkable player. That's not a surprise to anybody. But we were debating whether or not in the moment you can put him up there with the top 3 or 4 great players of all time, because of the way that his career has played out, where he's in an era where he's not going to score 200 points in a season. He's not a guy that scores 65 or 70 goals. He just consistently gets it done every game, every single year. He's got hardware. He's got 2 cups. He's got a Conn Smythe. I don't think there's any debating he's played himself into the top 10 all-time or top 12 all-time.
I think Craig had him. Craig had a list with former greats and current ones. He was like 8th, I think.
Yeah. I mean, where is he on your list, Ray? And do you think in 20 years, after everything's said and done, we can look back and maybe he'll actually be higher with time, if you can put it that way?
He's on Hayes' list right behind Kessel.
In terms of current players.
Yes, exactly. So are we still – so are that's all decided right now? Ryan?
Yes. Yeah. Kessel was the right guy for that given season. And then, anyway, moving on.
You're just teasing. Come on.
Are you working out of the White House right now?
Well, you're
like
fake news.
Truth.
You are fake news.
You're the failing New York Times, all wrapped into one hockey analyst.
You have said 17 false things today.
The failing hockey analyst.
I don't, that's a hard one to, I do think he's in the 5 to 7 range of all time. I just think of what he's been able to do given the injuries that he had. Like, if you consider that, you know, Bobby Orr's in the top 3 or 4 of all time, I don't think he played 700 games. So you can't really penalize, Crosby, if that's the right term, for the, you know, for the time that he missed. And then he was, you know, he's putting up, I don't know what his career average is, but he's putting up 90 points a year in an era where goals are at an all-time low since the war. You know, so it's hard though to place players in a list like that. It's kind of fascinating, but I do think when we look back, when he's retired and everything's said and done, we'll have him in a position that, you know, maybe might seem a little higher than it is today.
Yeah, I think he'll benefit from time. I think every player generally does. You know, it's very difficult to get caught up in your own era and make a case, especially when you don't have the ability to look back on the other great players. Like, I can't speak to how Gordie Howe played live, didn't see it, didn't see Bobby Orr. But, you know, those guys get built up, and deservedly so. Like, Gretzky and Orr are on such a different level. And I think Lemieux is right there. Those three appear to be the consensus, you know, top three players to ever play. I think that four spot, though, is certainly available. You know, I can't see why. Like, what if he plays another 10 years, wins another two cups, two MVPs, racks up 2,000 points? I mean, when all is said and done, you'll look back. How can you not say, well,
2,000 points? You think he's going to play that long to get another thou?
I don't know. He's played 757 games.
Yeah, but he's going on the back nine pretty soon. He's
okay. Well, but yeah, he's not getting 100 points a year. He's not going to average 100 points a year unless they make the Nets a 1.5 times their current size. Like, he's, you know, I mean, it's going to be too hard for him. But, you know, to your point, Brian, like, we'll always have video to look at Crosby. And, you know, we even have, you know, we've got some video of Bobby Orr. We've got, you know, all kinds of video of everybody else that's, you know, past Bobby's era, you know, like with Gretzky and Lemieux and all that. But with the older guys, you kind of just have to take where they've been ranked, and that has to be where they always sort of kind of hang out at, because we can never compare them. We can never check them. Their numbers don't transcend very easily. It's so hard to compare somebody from the 50s and 60s to today. I mean, the only commonality is that the game's played on ice. Everything else is just different. Everything's different. And when you get into, you know, splitting hairs between these guys, it's, to me, it's almost just, what's your personal preference? Like, what style of game did you like watching the most? And for me, I'll always rate the offensive guys ahead of a defensive guy. That's, in most cases, that's kind of my fallback position, I think.
All right, buddy, enjoy your weekend. My understanding is, what, you're out in L.A. or something like that? Or
We're in L.A. Riley's got a hockey tournament. This weekend they're getting the most rain in L.A. that they've had in 20 years.
Mm.
So it's great for the people. They need it out here, but it's really, really kind of crappy timing. I'll tell you, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, Vancouver.
Like, Vancouver.
Exactly. Vancouver, yeah. Traveled with you to L.A.
Fabulous. And then I'm back for Leafs Jets on Tuesday.
All right, buddy. We're looking forward to it. We'll tee
enjoy
it up on
the weekend.
Monday.
And by the way, when you do skate, please, can we come watch?
No. You'll never know where it is.
I'll find out.
We've seen him skate.
How are you going to find out?
I'm going to find out. I got people all over the city.
Yeah, we've got spotters.
Yeah, we got spotters. You'll be spotted.
Oh, it will be a secret. It'll be a secret for 4 seconds. We will get the show.
You guys know there's a lot of hockey rinks in Toronto, right?
I know you're not playing at dump, though. I know where you're playing. I already have a pretty good idea
where do you think I'm playing?
Probably Leafs Alumni ACC.
No.
Yeah, there it is right there. You can tell by his answer. All right, we'll see you on Friday.
That was a terrible denial.
Wasn't that awful, right?
That was a terrible denial.
Leafs alum. There's no such thing as a Leafs alumni skate.
Yes, there is.
I watched you skate when we used to do Leafs lunch.
That was gassed a long time ago. You think Lou would still have that thing?
That still happens. Absolutely, it still happens.
I'm never
Bobby
there.
McGill's out there.
We're not
there.
Doing Leafs lunch anymore. We're never there.
I'm telling you, man. I know that's exactly where you're going.
That's not where I'm going.
And don't worry. Somebody will tweet, hey, O'Neill's skating at, you know, so-and-so community rink if it's somewhere else. We'll find out.
Yeah, it's getting
and
out.
We're coming.
Don't you worry, Ray. We'll do it. We'll make a
St.
day
Mike's.
Out of it. All right, buddy.
This would be awesome. Enjoy the weekend, boys. See ya.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca. If you're not joining a team where you don't know people, that's not happening.
I don't know.
And
so playing with. I don't know the people I'm playing with.
I don't believe that for a second. Then why would you do it?
I was offered. There's ice time at 11:30 Fridays. Do you want to get in on it?
Well, who offered
What are you
that?
Looking at him for?
We're trying to put our heads together.
A friend of mine offered it.
Is there money involved?
What, to play?
I'd pay you.
I'm probably going to have to pay.
Well, I would guess you're going to have to chip in for the ice.
I was
right?
You should go out. Shoot, and then hold your podcast after. That could be a moneymaker.
Oh, I have to come to work.
I'm going to find out where this is. I think it's probably at the ACC with, like, McGill and
Yeah. I'm
Wendell.
Telling you right now.
It's not that.
Paul Mateer.
Paul Mateer, Trees.
Trees, Mark LaForest. See if trees would be in the trees would be in the dressing room with a hack and a dart
at the ACC. St. Mike's potentially.
Yeah, I think St. Mike's would be the one. But
no. St. Mike's could be. It's too central for you, though. You're not a central Toronto kind of guy.
Nope.
I forget. Like my brother was.
Are
talking
you that stupid? You know where I live.
I know where you live.
Oh, the MasterCard Center.
Oh, the MasterCard Center. Okay.
God.
And there's, what, 8 rinks there, so we'll have to hunt them down.
All right. Well, if you're there, Fridays around 11:30, search for the O-Dog. We'll hook you up with something.
What do you mean you hooked them up with something?
I don't know. If you get video of
we'll
it,
send
Bab it to
us. We'll send them some Bab Socks.
Yeah, some Bab Socks. Maybe a Mortgage Warrior hat.
Yeah.
For video of me playing men's league.
It would be good.
A full shift at the end of the game.
Gliding. A lot of gliding, and then just a bomb for a shot. It would be like our road hockey adventure, where you scored like 4 goals in a game because on his stick, off his stick, through the net.
Like Fulton from the Mighty Ducks. You're that kid. You're the bad news kid. You're going to wear a bandana.
Yeah, you'll be, you never know. Would you wear a Leaf jersey?
You didn't even play in that, the road hockey.
I didn't play in that, no.
It was me, Noodles, and Joe from the Bridge that were
Joe from
like
the Bridge
Stastny brothers.
Joe from the Bridge could play.
He was sick.
He was really good.
He was the best player in the tournament.
You see this Cash Me Outside girl is in Hollywood doing the rounds, like talking to TMZ, trying to get on TV.
Doing what?
Like, well, now she's this big star on social media with the Cash Me Outside, how about that? And her mom clearly is an enabler because her mom, who was yelling at her on Dr. Phil.
Now she's her agent.
And now she's the agent that's trying to cash in on this, trying to cash me outside on this.
Cash me outside. How about that?
And I guess they got like they're working on a clothing line where you can buy like Cash Me Outside on the front of a sweatshirt.
Yeah, guess what? You can also go to Lids in the Mall and put it on a hat.
Yeah, you know what? It's a flavor of the month.
How about that?
She was at Nobu in West Hollywood. We went there last summer. I was in that Nobu.
Yeah, but
she went from the streets of Jersey stealing people's cars to Nobu in West Hollywood.
Yeah, but right. She's not. She may be working there soon. That's the like she's not. Going to Hollywood and taking it by storm. If Honey Boo Boo didn't work, and that was watching a train wreck.
Remember Honey Boo Boo?
And the mom's
Cash
foot.
Cash me outside, how about that?
The mom's foot.
Yeah, the forklift foot. Her foot was so repulsive.
Yes.
Remember Sugar Bear? He was in there.
Yeah, they had some issues that whole show.
I just found out the Leafs still do that skate.
I told you they do the skate.
I know,
skate.
But I'm apparently.
You never got the invite.
No.
Tux probably goes.
Probably Lou said he's with the media, so not a chance in hell.
That's interesting. Although, like, McGill gets out there, Big Daddy. I guess he works for Leafs TV, though, so he's got some connections. But I think...
I played with Big Daddy a little bit.
Man, he was tough as nails.
He was. That's all. He's chaser tough.
Oh, dude. You look up YouTube fights, like, he's Probert 7 times in his career tough.
Yeah, Bobby McGill, Kelly Chase, like, those...
He could still beat... Just lay a beating on all three of us at the same time.
Oh, for sure. He's old school.
He's such a good
Big
guy.
Big Daddy. I love him.
Steve Phillips coming up live from Dunedin. Jose Bautista holding court with the media. Anything of interest came out of this? We'll see what Steve has to say about it. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.
Tell you one thing, making my comeback to hockey, I'm not gonna like buying regular sticks.
Why don't you pull off a few strings?
I tried. They just say credit card number, please.
You don't know any reps or anything that can shoot you a couple samplers.
I don't know. Carrying that wet garbage equipment in and out of a rink.
Well, why do you want to do it then?
I don't know.
Well, then don't do it. If you're dreading it already, why?
It might be just do it once and
see.
I
think one and done, maybe.
In the back of the truck.
In the back of the truck with the snowboard and...
No.
And the clubs. The clubs come out regularly just in the summer, but I think everything else.
Well, I'll bet you see some golfers tomorrow.
You think so?
I don't know how, but no. it'll happen somewhere.
Dumb comment. As
it's supposed to be 11 degrees tomorrow.
I get it.
But
where
the
hell are they going to golf? There's
you,
no
you know,
green.
There's some choppy courses that somehow... It's the weirdest thing when you see people out there golfing.
Winchester.
If they can clear the snow,
They would?
They would. And
Dregs and
you...
his buddies, Vape, will be out at Winchester.
Right. That's where we played. It was the worst track. Well, I mean.
Is Copper Creek pretty good?
Copper Creek, yeah, it's got a pretty good reputation.
Very good course.
Really?
Yeah, great facility, good course.
Why, is that up your alley or something? What's going on? You're
heard,
not a golfer.
Heard about it. No, it's just been in the area recently and looks like a nice course.
I've played it. Very nice.
Is it?
Very nice.
Oh, yeah, if O's talking that, it's solid, too.
Well,
Copper
Creek won't be open tomorrow.
No, that's a solid, looks like a solid country club.
Mm-hmm. You'll see someone out there, though, I'm telling you. Even if it's like a park or something.
Really?
Like Trinity Bellwood, some yahoo's out there with a wedge. Because, you know, so many people are going to be out on the street tomorrow. It's the first nice day in a long,
There'll
long time.
There'll be patios open.
11 degrees it's supposed to be?
11 degrees.
So it's going to be dirty because all the snow will melt. So everyone's car is going to be filthy.
Would you want to go to a patio at 11 degrees? No way. It'll happen, but no thank you.
I once saw a guy on a patio knock himself out. Trying to, you know, you're on a patio. He tried to jump over the fence, mm-hmm. and he caught his foot.
Oof.
And did a header. I was on a date with that fool behind the glass.
Really?
And the guy knocked himself out, and I couldn't stop laughing. I thought it was the funniest thing.
That's a pretty good icebreaker. First date, that's exactly what you want. Someone else to make an ass of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Then you can just talk about that for the rest of the night.
It was pretty funny. The guy was trying to be such a hero, and he was non-athletic, and he caught, like, his sandal or something on the top rung.
See you later.
And did like a serious header.
Joel Quenneville in about a half an hour. Goose Gossage at it again down at Yankees spring training. This
enough's
guy cannot
enough.
Stop.
Yeah.
Let's head down to Blue Jays spring training, catch up with Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst. Steve, do you know Goose Gossage at all?
Oh yeah. I've interacted with Goose, interviewed Goose a few times and listen. As a general manager, he would drive me crazy. And being in the media, kind of love him. Got to tell you, every spring, it's like clockwork. Goose is going to pop off a little bit and say something crazy and give us something to talk about. But, I would tell you, I would stop bringing him to spring training because, you know, you don't need this distraction because every year there's something going on with him.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I mean, he's there representing the Yankees. He's at Yankee spring training. They got a young ball club, probably some impressionable players there. And Gossage, who's a legend himself, comes out and says to the media he's borderline insulted when people compare him to Mariano Rivera. I mean, this guy, he cannot help himself. He hates sabermetrics. He hates the younger players. I don't understand why the Yankees would want him anywhere close to their facility.
Well, I got to tell you, I know last year, speaking to people in the Yankees organization, that they were very frustrated and disappointed, had a conversation with him. And, you know, my expectation was that that wouldn't happen again. And if it did, then they might take some action. So we'll see what happens. But look, he feels disrespected because of the way that they used to play the game, right? That they used to, you know, they used to get three inning saves and they used to do things and Mariano couldn't do what I did. You can blow yourself up all you want and tell everybody how great you are, but don't pull down the other heroes of the organization because got to tell you, if you're going to take on Mariano Rivera, that's a loss for Goose Gossage.
No kidding.
He didn't have a lot of them in his career, but he's going to take a loss in that one because no Yankee fan is going to support him.
Can you give us kind of an idea what goes on? I mean, we're hockey guys, two of the three of us, and we kind of like to chirp the baseball spring training, the whole atmosphere. Guys were playing catch yesterday that looked pretty intense. Like, when do they actually start doing stuff, Steve? Tell me that.
Well, tomorrow will be the first full workout. And what happens is that, you know, pitchers need more time to get prepared for the season to build up their arm strength. So they bring them in, and their workouts are a little bit less, right, because they're just going to throw. And then they'll do some running, do some fielding, but it's not all that intense. But once everybody gets in camp, it will heat up a bit. And they're doing a lot of conditioning behind the scenes that's not on camera, getting caught with that. I mean, you watch the routines that some of these guys go through, building up the strength of their legs, building up their conditioning, their stamina, the weightlifting, the weighted ball, all the work that they're doing with that. They do a lot. They just, you don't see it. But, you know, I think when everybody's in camp, tomorrow will be the first full workout. Things will start to ramp up a little bit more. But you know, one thing they do, managers don't want to keep players on the field that long. So, you know, they'll get a good 4-hour workout in and get out of there for the rest of the day.
with Steve Phillips, who's down there in Dunedin at Jay's spring training. Jose Bautista showed up yesterday, spoke with the media today. Very different routine than the one he had a year ago. That was one of the all-time great media scrums. And today he was more composed, more laid back, wasn't really interested in getting too deep into too many topics. So the debate is there. You know, is he humbled? Has he been humbled by this experience? Are we going to see a bit of a different Jose Bautista this year? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I didn't get that he's humbled by it. I think that there's two things. I think, one, I think he's still a little perplexed and confused as to why what his perceived value didn't match the perceived value of general managers in baseball, that he's still not exactly certain why his value wasn't more in the market than what it was. So I think there's that part. But I also think he's accepting that, look, here's the deal. I made the deal. I am. I'm back. You know, he wants to downplay that he's been humbled. He wants to downplay that he's got something to prove to people now, that all those naysayers or people that are doubting him, you know, all those things that we think he's motivated by, he's downplaying that, that the Orioles took shots at him in the offseason. And, you know, Dan Duquette, the general manager, said we couldn't bring him here because our fans don't like him. And Chris Davis, their first baseman, took shots at him that they don't like him either. And, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, I wouldn't suspect that Blue Jays fans are all that fond of Darren O'Day, who twice threw behind Bautista, and, oh, by the way, got lit up for a home run on the next pitch, or, you know, Buck Showalter or Dan DeKitt or anybody else. So I think the feeling's mutual, and so it's one that I ultimately, you know, I think that Jose is motivated by it, but he's a guy that you know, he lets that stuff brew, right? He churns it around inside. He chews on it, and he grinds it up, and he lets it build, and he you know, he obsesses about it. By talking about it, he would take away the power of it. So I don't think he's ever going to acknowledge it. But listen, this guy's coming in with something to prove to everybody. And I think he's got, you know, when he goes to Baltimore, he'll probably be at his peak of angst in trying to unload and drive the ball out of the ballpark.
And that's what I was really supportive of in terms of bringing him back. Furthermore, I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I think last year a lot of that was due to injury. There's no denying he's a year older. He might slow down to an extent in terms of what his prime was, but I still think he can supply some pretty high quality production. But when you think of the two best rivalries the past 3 years featuring this team, they have all circled around Jose Bautista.
Yeah.
And that is the Baltimore Orioles, like you just referenced, and the Texas Rangers. I mean, he has been the guy who has sparked any sense of emotion between the Blue Jays and any other team. And because he's back and because of what happened over the offseason, I fully expect those rivalries to pick right back up this upcoming season. Do you expect with Bautista here?
Absolutely. And I think there's going to be a rivalry with Boston. I really do. I think that the Red Sox, you know, there's a lot of chirping going on that they're the team to beat. With Chris Sale, they're going to do all this. And this Blue Jays team came into camp. They're very hungry. I mean, and it's funny because the training staff talked about it as walking by. One guy said, boy, these guys are hungry this year. And the players all to a man are saying, I can't wait to get going. It's a great team. I'm hungry. Doc Tulowitzki yesterday. You know, the thing with Bautista, too, that you know, to acknowledge the way the deal got done, right? If they had just accepted a deal back in December of 1 year at $18 million and with the two mutual options, I don't think he would be nearly as motivated as he is right now. I think that the way that it played out, that the market wasn't there, the longer it went on, the more the energy got going. And the Blue Jays gave him a soft landing spot. So I think there's a sense of gratitude there from him. They gave him more than the qualifying offer, which they built some relationship collateral with him. But I think he's angry. And I get it, because what he thought his value was and what it is much different. And so I think that he is going to come in very, very motivated to be able to get things done. And I think he's going to have a monster season. The other thing, I don't think he gets enough credit, and he talked about it today, and I wanted to mention it, is that you think about last year and the walk year of his contract. Here's a guy who, you know, wanted to put up big home run numbers and RBI numbers, and when they said we need a leadoff hitter, he said okay. I mean, that's pretty significant, because he sacrificed, you know, what would have been an opportunity to drive in more runs, you know, hit with runners on base. He became the runner on base. And look, you do what the team asks you to do, but not everybody does it. Not everybody does it willingly. And some people complain. He never complained, and he did what the team asked him to. And I think that we all look for the things that Jose doesn't do or the things that he doesn't say. And he really actually, I think, showed a lot last year by being willing to do that in the walk year of his contract.
Great point. Always appreciate it, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, man.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, live from Dunedin, doing hits on SportsCenter all week.
And I think a lot of the fan base, a lot of media are kind of underwhelmed by the offseason of the Blue Jays, but Steve is still a big believer, and he thinks they should be at the top. Or
that's not bad, though. You want to be, don't you want to kind of fly under the radar?
Well, according to him, he doesn't think they should be. Loves their starting rotation. I mean, I personally think the Red Sox.
I think on paper, the Red Sox feel very good about themselves, but the Jays had arguably the best rotation in the American League last year. They got a great closer who's returning in Osuna. Bullpen might be a bit of patchwork, but you never know what you're going to get out of that anyway. And you still got Donaldson, Tulowitzki, Bautista's back. You know, Kendrys Morales, he's not Edwin, but he's also not a complete stiff. He's gonna supply something, you know.
He has a good
might
year.
Might be a factor in the division. Who can respond with the loss of Edwin or Big Papi?
Right.
Because they were both integral parts of the offense for each club.
And that's a good point that people aren't bringing up, that Papi had like an all-time great season last year.
He's in Sandoval.
MVP though, season, but he's a DH.
Sandoval's coming back in, and he looks like he's lost a full person off his back.
Oh, he went from the Kung Fu Panda to just a rake.
Yeah, he's cut. I'm going down there, man. I'm going to Fort Myers in a couple of weeks. We're going back to JetBlue Park. Remember last year I was there like 2 days after his belt blew up.
Oh, that's right.
And I was just fixated on this guy. He was the baseball version of Trump and CNN for me. I'm watching him at third. He was awful in the spring training game. Awful. Two or three throwing errors.
He was saying it wasn't good.
He was brutal. He dove for a ball. He could barely get up. It looked like Uncle Buck trying to get out of bed. It was awful. And I'm going back down there, and I'm going to place eyes on this guy.
Well, you're going to scout him. You're going to be our field reporter from down there.
That's right.
I love it. Did you see the note from Winwell Hockey?
They want to hook up O?
Yeah. We'll hook you up. Let us know what you need for your comeback. Pretty impressive.
# Rick Reiner.
Now, Winwell, didn't Messier used to wear their buckets?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Solid.
Alex sent us a tweet, too. There's a course called Camile Golf out in Burlington. It must just be an absolute track.
Just a goat ranch.
So what?
But you're allowed to. You can golf in the winter. Like, that's their big thing. They're not pretending to be Augusta National.
I like them.
I'm with it.
We should do a show from there.
We should do a show from there.
Do a show from there.
You know that their clubhouse looks like the trailer at Tin Cup. But I'll bet you we can get in there.
I'll tell you what. You try and go and you roll the sod over one in the middle of winter, you are breaking your wrist. You Jordan Spieth it at 12 at Augusta, you're in hospital.
You're in a body cast.
Yes.
Joel Quinville in about 15 minutes. Future headlines at 6:30. This is Overdrive on the TSN Go app. A lot of people apparently have been to this Camile golf course. It sounds Mr. like Augusta. It is right up our alley. There's a guard dog.
We gotta go.
A Justin, guard dog?
I guess. Justin said it's essentially a field with some flags. All right. I can get behind that. The Overdrive Maple Leaf lineup contest.
Yes.
The theme this week. We've been asking people to look back on the last time the Leafs actually beat the Montreal Canadiens, which was January 18th, 2014. And we're giving away a pair of tickets to see the Leafs take on the Habs next Saturday night down at the ACC.
Right.
So considering that theme, we needed a goalie. I think we've had 3 forwards, 2 defensemen.
Okay.
The goaltender back then on January 18th, 2014, Johnny Burns.
Ooh.
Jonathan Bernier is your Maple Leaf lineup player of the day. And it is Friday, so the phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. First one in with all 5 players named. You're going to see the Leafs take on the Habs next Saturday night down at the ACC. So enjoy that. Big weekend for the Maple Leafs this weekend. We'll get to that in future headlines. Joel Quinville will join us to kick off the next hour.
Q.
We love Q.
Yes.
We're a fan.
I want to go to the Kentucky Derby. Maybe he has an in.
We'll talk to him. He's usually pretty connected. So Quinville's coming up, future headlines. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.